I had a student who you could tell he didn't want to be there. You know, I think maybe his mother or father made him, or maybe a counselor. You're going to be in chemistry because you're a bright kid, be there. You know, and chemistry is for all kids. But, you know, he had no interest. Anyway, I was determined I was going to find a way to connect with this kid. And so I modified my lessons to draw him in. When I was teaching gas laws, I was teaching a lot more about engines and how they operated because I wanted to make that connection with the student.
Connection, engagement, rigor, success. Here on Coaching You Through All Things Education podcast, we are building a legacy of success together, one episode at a time, each Tuesday at noon. As your host, Anne Labangana Clay of ANC Unlimited, we will unpack relevant topics in education together. And when I'm not podcasting, coaching, or consulting, stop by our website, acunlimited.org, for our new blog, Coaching You EDU, and a menu of services. If something resonates with you during this episode, message me on the podcast app of your choice or leave a comment on LinkedIn, our company Facebook page, or on Twitter. Our guests appreciate your feedback. Check out the story notes for our social media details. And certainly, if you have an episode suggestion, send it to coachingallthingsedu@gmail.com. Now let's dive in.
And welcome to Season 3, Episode 34 of Coaching You Through All Things Education podcast. We are delighted as we continue our new series, PD in Your Pocket, unpacking key do's or don'ts from the hashtag 100 Stop series. And we have the pleasure of having with us Lisa Blank. Lisa is the Director of STEM Programs and a Lead STEM Fellow with the STEM Learning Ecosystems in Watertown, New York, where she wears a variety of hats, including serving as Project Director for Math Matters. She is also a contributing author of Chapter 29 in the hashtag 100 Stop Series book, 100 No-Nonsense Things That All Teachers Should Stop Doing. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you. It's such an honor to be here with you today.
Oh, the honor is mine. Thank you. All right, we'll start with question number one. So I shared a little bit about you. Can you tell our listening audience a little bit more about you and the work that you do in STEM?
So it's kind of funny when people ask that question about what's your background or how did you get here to where you are today? My path is very convoluted. You know, it's a matter of circumstances over time. You know, as I think about high school kids, graduation, they feel so much pressure to be something or have this path carved out. But I would say that there's great opportunity in just finding the path as you live, if that makes sense. I always loved math, science, and technology. That's always been kind of core to who I am, and always have been excited about learning more. And I was initially a chemistry major. My husband's job has taken us, you know, to multiple states. We're military connected, and you've probably seen, if you've looked at my LinkedIn profile, I've worked on some Department of Defense educational activity projects. But I've learned a lot. I've learned so much from those travels, and I've become very committed to serving a rural, geographically isolated area in northern New York to kind of level that playing field.
Absolutely.
I see that there are places where there's such great opportunity and places where there's little awareness and little opportunity. So I spend a lot of time on advocacy, grant writing, programming that's maybe out of school, in school, you know, instructional coaching. I mean, I work with a couple of technology integration specialists, and we go into classrooms and help teachers figure out how to use robots in a social studies classroom or 3D printing in an English classroom, you know, integrating all of these great tools to make learning meaningful, relevant, and exciting for kids. You know, so that's really what I'm all about is using all that knowledge that I have that I've built over time, understanding of computer networks and science and all these various tools to really carve out experiences for our kids that lead to meaningful opportunities for them in their lives.
You know what, Lisa? I think you're one of the few guests that I've spoken with on this podcast that has addressed the rural population. You know, you talk about your inner city and you think of other, you know, students that may not have those opportunities, but the rural students may not have, and like you said, where you are particularly, you know, are lacking those opportunities. And so your mission and your drive to bring them to them is incredible. That's awesome. That's awesome.
I just add that another big piece there, because of being rural and relatively isolated, we have lake effect snow up here that cuts us off from the rest of the world, I swear. In the winter, I grew up in the Minneapolis St. Paul area and I thought it was winter tough. Then I came to northern New York and I was like leveling up in some sort of twisted game. But I think it does have the effect of keeping people from really realizing, even though we're connected with the internet and connected through television, people still aren't really fully aware of how rapidly this world is changing and how the opportunities available to our youth in emerging career fields, there's just not an awareness. So we really need to be actively engaging and advocating for programs that help create that awareness.
Yes, that's awesome. I hope everybody listening is taking that into account, you know, because I think I wouldn't say forgotten because that sounds negative, but like you said, it's not at the top of our priorities, and we need to make sure that we get those communications and opportunities out there. Awesome. Thank you, Lisa, for bringing that up. All right, let's see. We're going to dive a little bit into your chapter. So let's unpack your chapter in 100 No-Nonsense Things That All Teachers Should Stop Doing. You wrote chapter 29, Stop Using the Same Lesson Plans Each Year. And I'm an instructional coach, so I totally hear what you're saying. Tell us a little bit more about the curriculum train portion of your chapter and why you felt so passionate to write your chapter.
So I became so, I don't know, I guess this term curriculum train came to mind to me when I came to New York. I had previously worked as an educator in Minnesota and New Hampshire. And coming to New York, I saw a really different level of test-driven curriculum work. Mm-hmm. Assessments really drive so much of what we do because graduation outcomes are tied to assessments with the New York State Regents exams. Mm-hmm. So it's a real issue. Mm-hmm. The impact on teachers, however, is that there's this need to cover everything because mm-hmm. a kid might be tested on it. Sure. And so there's this path, you know, with stops along the way that might be the chapter assessments, mm-hmm. but yeah. it's a prescribed path that they've developed, and it's so rigid to get them across every bit of terrain they need to cover before they reach that exam at the end of the year.
Right.
And to me, I don't know, I guess my earlier experiences in education weren't so rigid and structured that way that I felt that pressure. If I had been raised in this system and started my teaching in this system, I might look at it differently and it might not trouble me so much. But what I see is that we miss opportunities to make connections with kids. My first year teaching, I was teaching chemistry, and I had a student who you could tell he didn't want to be there. You know, I think maybe his mother or father made him, or maybe a counselor. You're going to be in chemistry because you're a bright kid. Be there. You know, and chemistry is for all kids. But, you know, he had no interest. Anyway, I was determined I was going to find a way to connect with this kid. And so I modified my lessons to draw him in. When I was teaching gas laws, I was teaching a lot more about engines and how they operated because I wanted to make that connection with the student. Right. And I think that if we don't allow some flexibility in our path, we miss those opportunities to make those meaningful connections with kids that keep them engaged, that connect to those meaningful opportunities later on that we need. And, you know, we have such a high dropout rate from our schools. And I think that if we take more time and really meet kids where they are and help them understand that their learning experiences are valuable to them for their future.
Exactly, yes.
Then I think we will have better outcomes. But we're chasing an outcome using strategies that are really turning kids away.
Absolutely.
And that's where that whole concept of, you know, really not using the same lesson plan. Do we teach the same concepts? Yes. But how do we get there in terms of meeting those curriculum standards?
Right.
It can change based on the students that are sitting in front of you in your classroom. And it should.
Very.
Because, you know, we need to connect with them. And, you know, that's just, it's so important to what we do.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, what you're saying resonates with me, and I'm sure it resonates with everyone. You know, the pandemic has kind of given us this opportunity to kind of reset or reflect, at least in some ways, you know, how we go about, like you said, connecting with kids, making the curriculum relevant. Right? How is it connected to my future? You know, like those are the great opportunities, like you said. And what is it? The teachable moments, right? That's
absolutely
not always in a lesson plan, I'm sorry to say.
No, and there are those times when I would be driving into work in the morning and I hear something on the news that's so relevant and timely that I make an adjustment to the plan because it connects with the kids to their world in a meaningful way.
Yes.
And if we don't do that, we're missing opportunities. We're missing rich learning opportunities. So, I think that's really important to make those connections. And you're right. When you talk about the silver lining of the pandemic, people did become more aware of needing to connect with students. Because when kids are sitting at home and they have the choice to open that Chromebook or close it, you better be making a connection with them because they're not going to show up if you're not, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
So I think teachers learned a lot in this past year. I think it was hard. They're tired. Everybody's so tired right now, you know, but it's, but that was a valuable lesson. And I think, and I hope that that will carry over into the coming year, that they realize the importance of making the connection to this with the students is more important than following that curriculum train and making sure you're stopping at all the right stops and are in lockstep with the other teachers in your department. And, you know,
absolutely. No, but
there are real concerns, you know, that's real. It's a reality that a lot of teachers face. If you're not on that train and you're not following that same prescribed path, you can be looked down upon or shunned by your colleagues, right?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And it's a conversation, you know, like I said, I know this is something nationally, it could be internationally, that people are looking at, because in order for that to happen, you know, we think about, we should not think about our classrooms or our teams in isolation. But unfortunately, sometimes we think of those in silos. However, they're not. You know, you have your administration, right, who then needs to support your team or your, you know, if you're just yourself, hopefully not just you, but, you know, your team making those decisions, because that's scheduling, pacing, things that, you know, allowing for that to happen. You know, when I come in, I'm not an administrator, but, you know, even as an instructional coach, my mission is not, are you on page blank or have you addressed page blank, but have you met the standards, right? Or are you allowing opportunities for students to, you know, to unpack those standards for themselves and things of that nature? So I think it's a bigger picture, you know, and I can see that, you know, educators kind of need that okay, right, from those above them. And, you know, maybe the administrator's fine with it, but then it's district. Right. So it's a big conversation, I think, is on the table, you know, for folks. And I'm glad that you're bringing it back up again. So everybody,
and we honestly we're honestly transitioning from, you know, several years ago, we had one of those administrators that would go around and make sure everybody's on the right page on that day. Right. You know, so it was real.
Oh, it's absolutely
not exaggerated by any means.
Exactly, right? Right. So right. Oh, change is coming, Lisa.
Well, it has to. It has to for the good of our kids and our communities, that's for sure.
That's it. That's definitely it. All right, here we go. So can you give our listening audience three takeaways, three strategies, three things for education, life, STEM, that they should take into consideration when going into this fall?
There are so many things that I could talk about, but one of the biggest things I would say is let go of your comfort zones. Great things never come from comfort zones. So, you know, take those extra steps to find ways to engage and excite your students, whether it be through some new activity, giving students choice in designing their own activities, but meeting the standards and, you know, learning, rich learning experiences. I think educators are amazed when they get let go and let students do. And so I encourage you to do that because it makes a world of difference. Another thing is students really struggle in many cases, especially as you approach secondary education and approaching graduation, mm-hmm. that learning becomes about focusing on a test or getting that graduation diploma. And really, all those things are just some little stops along the way. Sure. And the bigger picture should be those long-term outcomes. Absolutely. So really think about, how are you connecting what you're doing in your classroom to the big picture for our students? What does what you're doing mean to them in their future? Yes, I think that's going to keep the kids in school. It's going to keep them coming back. It's going to keep them wanting to learn more. So find ways to keep, you know, keep learning alive for students and connected to their world. The last thing, again, connection. Make sure that you're getting to know your students on a personal level. Yes. Those very most difficult students that might frustrate you like crazy, those kids need connections. And when you make those connections, it's amazing how the behavior and discipline problems just generally go away.
Exactly.
You know, I had an administrator one time say to me, Lisa, why is it that you don't have problems with these kids? And I've got other teachers writing referrals on them every day.
See? Mm-hmm.
I would talk to them when they came into my room. I made sure they had activities where they were up out of their seat and moving. They were learning. They did everything I asked of them. Right. But I wasn't making them sit like ducks in a row, and I showed value for them. So make sure that, you know, if you want your students to value and respect you, you have to show it to them too. So
indeed.
Make sure you take the time to make those connections.
Woo. Okay, Lisa. The flames are coming from your three things. You're so awesome. No, but I want to touch on that last piece. You know, like you said, if the lesson plan is not stale, right, you're adjusting it and things of that nature to the students that you have, you are, you know, speaking to them and taking time to connect with them as human beings, right, before they even get started with the lesson or whatever it is, or taking time throughout the lesson if they need you in that way. Those pieces, what did you say? It decreased or minimized or eliminated, maybe in some cases, the whole, you know, I don't want to do my work. I want to, you know, the discipline piece, right? And so people don't seem to, not that they don't seem to, but that's an important lesson, sorry, particularly for our novice teachers, but some of our veteran teachers, right? You have to do something different on your end in order for the outcome to be different on their end. And so you got a recipe for success there, Lisa.
Well, the simple act of just saying hello and greeting them when they come in a room is powerful.
How about
and,
that?
And, you know, the other thing that just kind of reflecting on this a little bit more is I see a lot of adults talk down to children. Mm. Don't talk down to children, talk to children, talk with children, but never talk down to them. And if you can get past that, you know, I don't know how someone self-evaluates and realizes that they talk down to children, but
right, yes.
But having conversations with them,
mm-hmm.
not about them, not at them, with them.
Exactly.
It's really huge.
It is huge. Awesome. All right, here we go. Our very final question. It is trending on the show. If we could have a billboard with anything on it, what legacy message would you print on it and why?
So I love learning and I wanted to spread that joy of learning. So I guess my legacy message would be to ignite learning with curiosity, wonder, and awe. And to empower all students to be problem solvers and innovators, because we need innovators in this world.
Oh, it
solves some big problems, right?
Yes, in all areas, right?
Right.
All careers. Absolutely. Yes. Wow. Thank you, Lisa. That was a great billboard, and lots of will make it extra large.
It's a lot of words.
No, but it's so true. You make me think about how companies and employers are probably wishing the same thing, you know, that you're speaking about, meaning preparing our students for those careers, for life. I was like, our companies are just like, wow, you know, if everybody could come out of college or out of high school, excuse me, that way, I think that it would be a more productive and efficient world. How about that?
Absolutely.
Oh, my. Well, thank you so much, Lisa, for joining us today. Wow. Chock full
thank
of
you, Ann.
Oh, indeed. Indeed.
Well, it's always fun to talk about these things. You know, it's. We need more time to sit down and reflect and share ideas.
That's it. Absolutely.
We all become better through that.
Indeed. Indeed. Oh, well, I wish you much success with everything you have going on. And keep us posted through Twitter and all that other good stuff. Okay? All right.
Thank you.
Have the rest of the day.
Have a wonderful day. Thanks.
All right. Bye. Thanks. Bye.
Well, that concludes another episode of Coaching You Through All Things Education. As Confucius states, those people who develop the ability to continuously acquire new and better forms of knowledge that they can apply to their work and into their lives will be the movers and shakers in our society for the indefinite future. Again, you can find me on LinkedIn and Twitter, or you can also find us on our Facebook page, ANC Unlimited. As a reminder, for a free consultation in any area of education that you choose, for educators, administrators, or parents, please visit acunlimited.org. Until next time, stay stress-free and be well.